Like you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's good to be in church tonight. Amen. Amen. I enjoyed that special. I enjoyed the song before. I enjoyed all the songs. Thinking that song, Hallelujah, What a Savior. That used to be one of the favorite songs I liked to play on my trumpet. Now I know you're looking at me like saying, you play the trumpet? I played the trumpet. In fact, I played one special, just one. We were in Zambia, and Sarah has just learned to play the flute. I was just learning to play the trumpet, and she was quite young at the time, and we're having our big anniversary Sunday. In fact, there was about 592 or three people there that Sunday. And I didn't know we were going to have that many. All I knew is it was going to be a big anniversary Sunday. We need to have special music. Sarah, play your flute. You know. And I said, well, you know, I'll play my trumpet with you. Amen? Great idea, except I forget the music at home. And I'd already promised her that we were going to do this. So we get up there, and I'm sitting down, and, you know, she's playing her flute, and I'm trying to play this trumpet. And I had the song memorized. And I was doing pretty good until I lost my breath because I was nervous. And then, long story short, I tried to come in. And it didn't sound too good. I tried to come in again. It didn't sound too good. I mean, people are out there trying not to laugh. And then I got done, and I got right up in the pulpit and had to preach because I was the special. Man, that was special. All right. So if you're wonder why I don't play the trumpet anymore, that might have a little bit to do with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, we're living in a day and age where everything's abbreviations, right? So I'm going to give you an abbreviation for my sermon title tonight. TFD. All right, TFD, and you'll get it in a minute here. And I'm going to preach about money, actually. In fact, I have more money in this room than anybody else present. I guarantee it. I guarantee I have more money on me than anybody else in this room. And it's real money. It's from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. It's $100 trillion. One problem, it's not worth anything anymore. But you know what? This is the largest note that was ever printed in history, legal tender. But it's worth nothing right now, nothing. They don't even use Zimbabwe dollars. They use American dollars now in their economy. And you know what? Just like this money is worth absolutely nothing right now, one day all the money you own will be worth the same thing. Absolutely nothing. So it's a good idea that we get a proper view on the money that God has allowed us to have. I want us to read in the scriptures tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift." You ever had anybody begging you to take their money? "And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and to us, unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we can gather together in your house this evening. And I pray that the message you've given to me would be a help, an encouragement, and a reminder to us all of the importance of our relationship to you in this area of giving. Lord, we're entering into this time of stewardship in our church, and we just pray that our hearts would be right so that we would give the right way. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A little boy recently struggled with giving his offering. This is a true story. Plate was passed by. He had his coins in his hand, and the plate stopped, and he didn't put the money in. His mom said, put the money in. He didn't want to put his money in. And so, finally, he looked up at his mother, and he said, if Jesus is so rich, why do we keep giving him all our money? That's a true story. You know, that kid had a problem with TFD. He had tight fist disorder, right? If you want to call it something else, you call it tight fisticitis or stingivitis or miseritis or whatever you want to call it. In layman's term, we would just say why people struggle to give, right? I guess that would be a better title than TFD for the sermon. But many adults suffer from the same disorder. The symptoms start showing up when the preacher starts to call the ushers down the aisle. And then they start walking down, and then the feelings of guilt and shame begin to overwhelm them. And as the offering plate begins to go by, their palms grow sweaty because they know they didn't give, or they're not going to give as they should give. And then all of a sudden, paranoia sets in because they're thinking, I think the preacher's going to start seeing if I give or not. And so all of these things start coming in on people. And then actually, it's a very contagious disease. In fact, if the parents have it, in most every case, the children are going to have it too. So when a parent has tight fist disorder and they don't want to give to God and they're holding on to their money so hard, usually the kids catch on to it. But they don't have to get it from their parents because they just get it by birth, in a sense, because we're all born with this idea of wanting to hold on to things. Now, what could be such a cause of such a terrible disease or disorder? Well, it's like a fever. You know, when my wife and I went off to Africa as missionaries, we went to this crash course, medical missionary intensive course. And we studied tropical diseases, and we had to do all these case studies and things like that. And you had to check all the symptoms and all the vital signs, and you had to do all these different things. And you had these charts, and you had all these protocols you had to follow to try to narrow down what this person has. If they come in with this, this, and this, you should be able to figure out what they have and treat it, or else they die. And we didn't want to die, and we didn't want other people we knew to die, so we were taking this thing seriously. But as you know, as we went along, a lot of the case studies, man, they come in with the same symptoms. Maybe a little variation here or there, and they were all different diseases. You know, someone comes in with a fever. Well, what is it? Well, could be malaria, could be meningitis, could be encephalitis, could be a whole host of things, could be just a flu. And you don't want to misdiagnose or mistreat something. And in the same way, though, like a fever, there can be several different diseases that cause the same problem. There's several different things that cause us not to give as we should give. It's not the same for every person. The symptom might be the same, but the reason why we don't give may be different from person to person. It's kind of like scurvy. Scurvy occurs when there's a deficiency in vitamin C. So you're getting all this medical jargon. You say, why? Because I've seen so many doctors, right? It kind of affects your mind and how you think. But scurvy occurs when you don't have enough vitamin C. A lot of sailors used to get it because they'd be on board a ship without fresh fruits and vegetables and not enough vitamin C in their diet. But just like a lack of vitamin C would result in scurvy, having spiritual deficiencies in your life will hurt your giving. So what are some of these deficiencies that you might have, that you might be lacking, that could hurt your giving? Now, for those who are new in the church, August is stewardship month. Doesn't mean every sermon is going to be about giving, but there's an emphasis on stewardship because in about a month or so, we're going to promise, make a commitment to God what we're going to give. We're going to pray and we're going to commit to God what we're going to give for the next year so the church can set its budget and run the ministries. Now, I hope as we enter this serious time, and it is a serious time, that you will consult the great physician to see if you have any of these spiritual deficiencies that might hinder your giving, because it's really important. So what's missing in your life? Now, before I get into a list of things to check, we need to understand that people they're not hindered from giving because they have a lack of money. That's the first thing people say, well, I don't have enough money. That's why I don't give like I could or should or wanted to. No, that's not at all. People don't struggle to give because they're poor. In fact, A lot of examples in the Bible exist of very poor people who gave liberally. And so that's not it. The one who fails to give properly, he's not financially bankrupt. He is spiritually bankrupt. You don't have a problem with your checking account. You got a problem with your heart when you don't give right. And so there's a whole list of things that could affect how you give. And if you have one of these things wrong in your life, it's good just to get it right with God so you don't mess up everything else. Amen? So we want to go through some of these things and consider what might be lacking. First thing that we want to talk about, there may be a lack of love. So, well, I love God. We sing that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I'm not going to sing that. You know why I'm not in the choir. But look here in verse number 8. We're in our text here. At the end of the verse, he says, to prove the sincerity of your love. Paul wanted to prove how sincere the love of the Corinthian people really was for God. You know, you can give without love. But you can't love without giving. There's a big difference there. There's a lot of parents, they'll give their things to their kids, but they don't love their kids. They don't spend any time with their kids. They just buy them a bunch of stuff. But you show me a parent who really loves their kids, they will sacrifice and do things for their kids just because they love them. I don't know about you, but I had parents who loved me. We didn't have a lot growing up. We didn't. We didn't have a lot, and sometimes I wonder where my dad got what he got just to be a blessing to us, just to do something nice for us. God is a great father, and he wants to give to us, but he wants us also to learn to give to him. We read out of the great chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You can give to God, and it's nothing. It's going to profit you nothing. You're not going to have any rewards in heaven if you lack charity. You've got to have a love for God. I love God, and that's why I give. And when I don't give, could it be because I love something else more? Probably so, right? I love myself more. I love things more. And it could be the reason that maybe you struggle with giving. Some people love Stewardship Month because they get all excited. You know, it's kind of like a month of revival, really. You say, why? Because when preaching is done on giving, it stirs our faith, doesn't it? And man, when you are called upon to have more faith in God, that is revival. It points out covetousness in your life. When you get sin out of your life, it is revival. And so preaching on giving, to me, is a lot like just having a revival service. God can deal with us and speak to us and really help us. Not only that, I've got a dozen, so we're going through these quickly. The first one was a lack of love. Maybe you are deficient in grace. Go back to verse 1 in our text. Chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We tend to think of this chapter as the giving chapter. I like to think of it as the grace chapter. Almost verse 1 seems to be the theme verse, a thesis statement, if you'd want to say that for all you English majors here. He said, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You see, they were poor, dirt poor, but they gave. And they gave liberally. And they were happy to give. They gave sacrificially. And the way they were able to do something that was seemingly impossible to do is because they got God's grace to do it. Learn another lesson from this. If you need help in doing anything that seems impossible to you, you know what you need? You need grace. And if you get grace, you'll be able to do things that you can't do on your own. We all need grace. And grace allows you to do these things. But how do we get grace? We get it by being humble. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, but he that he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He gives grace to humble people. But our proud attitudes of selfishness, and selfishness is nothing more than pride because it's all about me, right? I need this, I want this. Self-sufficiency. You know, a lot of us, we think we don't have to trust God to take care of our needs because we're going to take care of it. I'm the man, I'm going to take care of it. Well, sometimes God puts us, you man, in a position where you can't do anything about it. So you got to look up to God. What are you going to do then? He wants us to humble ourselves. But our proud attitudes cause him to resist us. And we don't get the grace that we need. So if you lack grace to give sacrificially, you need to search for and confess any pride that's in your life. Maybe you just lack in grace. And look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9 is just the next chapter over. Verses 8 through 10, it says, and God is able to make all what? Grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiplied your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. If you read those verses, what he's basically saying is God will give you grace that you need, and then because of that, you're going to have all enough, you'll have enough to meet your needs and the needs of God's work. He'll give you grace. You need some grace today? You're facing something you need, you can't do on your own? I don't know how I'm going to give. I don't know how I'm not going to give. I need to give. I like to give. It's exciting to give. But when we lack love, when we lack grace, it's always going to affect our giving. A third thing will affect our giving is a lack of obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again, look over in verse number 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. He says, I just talked about that you need to abound in this grace also. He says, now, do it. Do it. Who doesn't know that they should give to God? Anyone who's been saved for a short time, even unsaved people understand that they're supposed to give something to God. We all know we're supposed to give a tithe. We all know that God would appreciate a little extra than a tithe. You say, well, yeah, there you go again. What do you mean, there I go again? I'm not getting your money. We need to give so that we can obey the Lord. It's always wrong to disobey. It's always wrong. It's always wrong. And because we don't give, something that God wanted to do might not happen. It's true. I read a story about a man. It was years ago. He was a businessman. He went to a missionary society, and he had $280. Now, back then, it was a lot of money. And he brought that to the missionary society so that he could help send a new missionary recruit overseas. And when he got there, they said, sorry, you're too late. He said, what do you mean I'm too late? Well, there weren't enough funds, so we had to cancel the missionary's duty. They couldn't go because of a lack of money. And in tears, that man confessed. He said, God told me to give it many days ago, and I delayed. See, our lack of obedience can hinder God's work. When you find out what God wants you to do in the way of giving, just give. Just give. Pray about it. He says, give, give. Give your tithe and give a little more than the tithe. Whatever he says. Not only is there a lack of obedience, but there could be a lack of contentment. Many times people really want to give more, but they're hindered. Because they've wasted money on other things, so now they don't have enough money to give to God. Have you ever been in that situation? Man, I wish I could have given more to God. Here comes a plate for the other's offering. Oh, I'd like to do a little bit more, but I can't. There's a real need. Someone really needs something. I'd like to put more in, but I can't. The reason is we're often just not satisfied with what God's given to us. And so we want more. We're reminded that he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, more for us means less for others. The more we accumulate for ourselves, the less we'll have to be able to distribute and help others who have a need. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. He said, I know how to handle having a lot, and then I know how to handle having nothing. We need to learn to be content. Man, people get the new cell phone, and then the new one comes out, right? Man, I got to have that one. You know, they had to have the iPhone, and they had to have the iPhone 4, and then they had the iPhone 4. What's the next one? 4S? I don't know all these things. I don't have one. And I got to have the iPhone 5. And I got to have the... What's wrong with the other one? Well, it doesn't have all the features. Well, that's good. I'm glad. How many features do you need? When I get smart, I think I'll get a smartphone. But I'm dumb, so I still get my dumb phone. But we're not content, and we always want more. We're always grabbing for more. And being content with what we have allows us to give more to the causes that have eternal value. Then maybe there's a lack of control. This is very close to the last point. But in chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That word temperate means to have self-control. Most people don't have self-control. I mean, it starts with that little kid in the grocery store. He sees something on the shelf. He wants it. He doesn't get it, so what does he do? He screams. He stomps his feet until he gets it. And he gets it, doesn't he? He gets it. And, you know, they're not always going to have that, someone giving everything they want. So eventually they got to steal it, right? They're going to get what they want somehow. And so as life goes on, you just always want more. There's no control. God wants us to be in control. He wants us to be temperate in all things. All things includes what? Money. Control your money. There's a little word that begins with a B that helps us to do that. Anybody know what that is? Budget. Well, when are we going to? You know, I remember the time that the best I ever kept a budget was when I had the least amount of money coming in. And we lived pretty good. In fact, we had a car, and then we went out and bought our first minivan in addition to the car that we had. We had two cars. And that was the least amount of money I was ever making in my adult married life. It was great. Why? Because we were able to learn to put into practice something we had been taught. We all spend money on things we shouldn't. And a lack of self-control means there's less to give to God. I'll go back to the idea of the other's offering. There's a great need and you want to give, but you blew it at McDonald's. You know, you did something, you just spent it somewhere else. And setting up a budget helps us to gain control of our spending. And if it's biblical to be temperate, which means to have self-control, it's biblical to control our money through a budget. When you get saying, why does a preacher always stress that? And that's not in the Bible. I just showed you a verse. You can argue later. You'll lose. But are you out of control with your spending? If so, it will affect your giving. Being out of control in your spending will affect your giving. It's very simple. These are all things. If we have these deficiencies in our life that are going to show up later and give us the symptoms of TFD, right? Tight fist syndrome, like that little kid. Jesus has got enough money. I don't need to give him any more, right? Number six, here's another deficiency we may have. There could be a lack of willingness. You know, there's some people in life, they just do the bare minimum in everything they do. They just do the bare minimum just to get by. And that attitude also goes into giving. We say, well, God says 10%. Well, he gets 10%. And if he's lucky, I'll give him a 0.5% extra as my offering. 10.01% or something. I mean, they'll calculate it right down to the minutest thing. Turn with me back to, we'll come back. Well, we'll go all over the place. But turn with me back to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. In Exodus chapter 35, God solicited a free will offering from the people. Look with me in verse number 5. He says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. Gold and silver and brass," and he goes on. And of course, these are things that were going to be used for the tabernacle. "So whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. Just be willing." Verse 29. "The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." They were willing. Now look in chapter 36, verse number 3. "And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning." These were free offerings. These were just, I want to, just because I want to do it. Not just because I have to do it. Not just because it's expected of me to do it. Not just because God told me to do it. But I just wanted to give. I mean, people think that we're crazy for giving to God. Well, you know, they give a whole lot more to the devil, don't they? Think of all the money they spend on their filth and their corruption and their people spend on drugs and alcohol and videos and pornography and all that foolish rubbish. Yeah, they give a whole lot more. They give a lot more than 10% to their God. And here, these people, they were getting right with God and they were all excited saying, "Hey, let's give. Man, let's give." You read through the revivals in the Bible, you will see oftentimes when you see a revival, there was also revival in giving. They're just excited about it. They were willing to do it. Now, look over with me in chapter 36 there. Well, let's continue in verse number 4. "And all the wise men that wrought in all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work." Much more than enough. They're giving too much money. Moses, tell them to stop bringing money. Verse 6, "And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make, and too much." There was too much money given. Hey, you just have given too much. You just back off a little bit, all right? You can hold it for a while. You ever hear a sermon like that? Have you ever heard a preacher preach a sermon like that? Man, we have too much money. You don't have to give this week. You don't even have to give this month. Just hang on to it for a while. They brought it because the Bible says they were willing. But when you have TFD, tight fist disorder, it makes you want to hold on to your money. You're not very willing to give. We got to remember that all that we have came from God. We're told, oh yes, I know that verse. We are bought with a price. Well, if he bought us with a price, then he bought everything that we own with us. Right? I tell my kids all the time, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. You know, as long as you're in my house, it's mine. The idea is God owns me. And if he really owns me, he owns everything I have. And I'm supposed to glorify him with my body and my spirit, which are his. So I'm supposed to glorify him with everything that I own. We have to be willing. Willing. Are you deficient here in your willingness? There was a successful businessman. He was asked the secret of his success. And he summed it up with three words. The words were, and then some. He said throughout his life, he learned early that average people just did what was necessary. But successful people did what they were supposed to, and then some. And then some. A good Christian will give what they should, and then some. Why? Because they're willing. They're willing. They love God. They're willing. 2 Corinthians, if you turn back there, that's great. If not, I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again, in verse number 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to the hath not. He said there must be first a willing mind. God wants a willing heart. He wants us to be willing. There was a man, the story told about a new convert. Came and he was talking to the pastor, and he says, you know, Pastor, if I had 50 pigs, I'd give 25 of them to the Lord. And the pastor said, well, that's great. That's wonderful. He said, what if you only had 30 pigs? Would you give 15? Oh, yes, I'd give those 15. He said, what if you had 10? Would you give him 5? He said, yes, Pastor, I would definitely, I'd give him 5. He said, what if you only had 2? Would you give him 1? You know, come on, Pastor, you know I only have 2 pigs. You know what he was willing to do? He was willing to give what he didn't have, but he wasn't willing to give what he did have. And I think a lot of people get in that situation. Man, if I had $1 million. Yeah, right. If you had $1 million, you wouldn't give any more than what you're giving now. We say, when I get that new job. No, what are you willing to give now? Are you willing to give what you have, not what you don't have? Then it could be that you end up with this miseritis, stingivitis, tight fisticitis, because you have a lack of thankfulness. Turn with me back over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, in verse number 9. Again, here's a time of revival. In verse number 9, it says, then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. Interesting, they rejoiced. Why? Because they were giving willingly. When you give willingly, you're actually kind of happy about doing it. When you're giving because you have to, you kind of give out of a grudge. He says, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. So he understood that anything that they got came from God in the first place. He says, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. How were they thanking? They were thanking by giving an offering. He says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You think he had grace to give? Who am I? And what is my people? That's humility. He was humble. He had grace to give. He loved the Lord. They had a willingness. And they were thankful. How thankful are you? I mean, are you excited about what God has done in your life? Man, God has blessed some of us beyond measure. I'm not talking just financially. That's just a side benefit. With forgiveness. You remember where you came from? The pit you were in before you got saved? David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." My life was ready to be destroyed when it was in my hands. It's the grace of God that I can even stand here. It's a miracle that I'm saved. It's a miracle that he lets me preach. It's a miracle I have a wife. It's a miracle that God's given me children. I was a bad dude, as they would say. But God did something. And I don't deserve it. Man, the least we could do is just say, "Hey, thanks. You want my $100 trillion, God? You can have it." I'm not worried if he asked me for that. I'm just worried if he asked me for something more. We ought to be thankful. You ever show God how much you're thankful just by giving him an extra gift? "Oh, God, you've been good to me. Let me give you this. Man, you gave your tithe, you gave your offering, you gave what you promised you're going to give God, and God blessed you and gave you some more." And you said, "Well, hey, I think I'll give him a little bit extra this month." Why? Just because you're happy. I mean, you're just happy that God has blessed you. Sometimes we fail to give because we've forgotten all the blessings God's bestowed upon us. We forget all that we gave to the devil. Man, as I talked earlier, don't you want to express your gratitude toward the Lord? There's a lot of ways you can do it. Serving him, following his word. But one of the ways is just giving him. These people in the Bible, I'm not pulling it out of context, they were thanking God, and the way they thanked God was, "Here, Lord, I want you to have a little something extra." He doesn't need it as much as you need it to show that you're thankful. When you do something nice for somebody, don't you always feel good inside? Yeah, we feel good inside. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And those who are deficient in their gratefulness, they'll also be deficient in their giving. How happy are you for the things that God has done in your life? If you're real happy, how do you show it? How do you show? I know we all get tight sometimes, and it's you've got to pay your bills. I understand all that. I'm not saying, I'm just trying to say sometimes we can do a little something just because we want to. Then it could be a lack of the right priorities in our life. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to see something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse number 7, it says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You say, "I don't think it's right that we make a commitment to God and tell him how much we're going to give. Show me Bible for that." Okay, verse 7, "Every man according as he," what? "Purposeth in his heart." That word "purposeth," it really has the idea of choosing. You're choosing one thing before another. What God is saying is that we come and say, "This is the money I have. And 10% is whose?" It's God's. No problem with that. It's his. 90% is left in my hands to do with as I feel God would want me to do. He doesn't want me to waste it. I'm supposed to be a steward. But I got 90%. How much should I give over that 10%? That's according how I purpose in my heart. You say, what does it mean, purpose? To choose. When you have your budget, you look down, you sit, and you decide, I am going to choose to spend money on this and this and this. Or I'm going to choose to give a little bit more to God. We make choices. right? We could choose to buy more things. God doesn't say we can't buy things. God doesn't say we can't have nice things. You can choose to buy a Mercedes-Benz. Don't know why you'd want to do it, but you could. Or you could choose to give a little more to God. There's people who could live in a very, very big house, but they don't. They have purposed in their heart, well, I want to do something a little bit differently with my money, and I'll live a little differently, and I'm purposing, I'm going to choose to be able to give this much to God. That's the idea of purposing. Sometimes we don't have the right priorities. And how we use our money reveals what is most important to us. And for many, the accumulation of things sometimes is more important than giving to God. How many things do you have lying around your house that you never use? Man, why did I get that? Why did I buy that? Why did I? Because it was on sale. And we get this thing that we have to buy something because it's a good deal. Well, did you need it? No, it was a good deal, though. You know, get all that stuff. We buy things we don't need. But what's most important to you? God wants us to consider our priorities. There was a woman, she took her two boys and her daughter to the matinee one day to see Peter Pan. It tells you how old the story is. They got down there to see Peter Pan, and the tickets were $2.50 each. So she leans over and she hands a $10 bill, slides a $10 bill to the person taking the money, and they get the tickets, go on in, see their matinee. The next day, that mother and the three children go to church, and the offering plate comes around, and that mother, she opens up her purse, and she's looking in there, and she takes out a quarter, and she puts it in that plate as it goes by, and, you know, and she's got that sanctimonious smile. I gave to God. It's always nice when you can have your hand motion putting something in. You never see people just kind of pretending like they're putting something in. They just don't want to be embarrassed. But anyway, she puts her 25 cents, she puts her quarter in the offering plate. And that little girl in the stage whisper, you know, which is so everyone could hear it, "Mom, church is a lot cheaper than the movies, isn't it?" Yeah, well, you can see where Mom's priorities were the movies. What are your priorities? How much money do you spend on entertainment as opposed to what you give to the Lord? I was preaching at a missions conference one time, and I was preaching on the idea of giving and sacrificing to the Lord. And a lot of churches have this thing called faith promise mission. They're going to give how much extra to missions. We promise how much we're going to give to God. Some churches do it differently, and they say how much you're going to give to missions. So anyway, I was talking, you know, it was in between the break. You know, we were in between the morning service and the evening service. One guy said, you know, he says, "Man, I think I spend more money on my cell phones than I do my faith promise." And he looks over his wife, "Hi, honey, how much do we give how much we spend on cell phones a month? Like three something?" He's like, "Three, is it 320 or something?" She says, "420. You spend $420 a month on cell phones. Everybody in his family had a cell phone, a smartphone. Now that doesn't sound too smart to me. He said, "Well, that's gonna have to change. Man, I think I'm giving more money on my cell phone bill than I am to missions. I think I'll change that." Well, amen. That's good. I'm glad that he wanted to change it. But where are our priorities? We say we can't do something more because we've racked ourselves in debt. We've made commitments. We've overextended ourselves. And what is going on? This is worth nothing, and it's going to mean nothing in eternity. But everything that we've given to God out of a pure motive, we've laid up treasures in heaven. And you can't lose it, amen? I like that. All right, number nine, let me go quickly here. A lack of trust. Some may say, well, I just don't think the church spends the money the right way, so I'm not going to give. Oh, really? Last time I checked, God leads the shepherd, not the sheep. He leads the pastor, not the people sitting in the pew. I got verses for that. And you know, there's a little cripple girl. She walked to the front of the church. And this is back when a lot of churches would have people walk down the aisle and put their offering in the front. And she walked down the church. There was a special need that needed to be met. And she kind of hobbled down there. Just a little girl. She took off her ring and she put her ring in the offering plate. Hobbled back. They went and they counted the money. And sure enough, the special need was met. Pastor looked and saw that little ring, and he knew it was the girl who gave the ring. He said, wow. So he called one of the ushers, go bring that girl to my office. She came to the office, and he said, I just want you to know that the need was met, and I want you to have your ring back. And she looked at him, and she said, Pastor, I didn't give that ring to you. I gave it to God. And if we'd remember, we're not given to man. We're not given to an organization. We're given to God. This just happens to be the avenue in which God has chosen us to give. But we're not giving it to preacher. We're giving it to God. Can't you trust God? I think I can trust God. Amen? There may be a lack of the fear of God. You know, we all know we're commanded to give, but we seem to forget that God chastens us when we disobey. You ever heard that word in the Bible? Chastisement. Right? Whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. You ever been spanked by God? I have. I don't like it. I really don't like it. But some people would do well to have a little bit of the fear of God in them. In Malachi 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, will a man rob God? And the answer is, yes. Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now listen to what he says next. Ye are cursed with a curse. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Cursed with a curse. Yeah, well, whatever. You know, I never really had to explain that as a missionary in Zambia to our people. They understood full well what a curse meant. A lot of people lived in fear of having a curse put on them by the witch doctor. Lived in fear of it. Many people, when they got sick, would not all the good Christians, I'm talking about the culture. Many people, when they got sick, would think, ooh, someone cursed me. Someone put a curse on me. When someone would die, they'd say the reason he died was not because he had malaria, because someone put a curse on him, and that's why he got the malaria. And now I got to go after the person who put the curse on me. People lived in fear of the devil's power to curse them. You know, isn't it too bad that people fear demons that are much less powerful than we fear God? God says we're supposed to give. We all know that verse, give and it shall be given unto you. Yeah, given unto you is the good part. But first part he says give. That's a command. Give. Give. But people can, well, I'm a little bit tight, and they'll just rob God. And you don't fear an almighty God in heaven? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. There's an almighty God who sees. He sees what we make. He sees what we do with our money. And because we've wasted it, we've done this and that, and we don't have enough to pay our bills, and we don't have enough to pay our bills and give to God, so we say, I'm not going to give to God. You're a thief. And you don't fear God. And the reason you might be having so many financial problems and might be strapped beyond measure is because you are cursed with a curse. It could be a lack of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. How much do you want from God? It all depends how much you give. How much faith do you have to trust God? Many times we just don't believe that God's going to take care of us. Last year, when we came into the stewardship banquet, I had prayed and I was praying, and okay, Lord, I think this is a good amount. And I came up with a number I thought was going to be the right number to give. And I remember sitting out there right over there, and man, the sermon, one of the sermons was just getting me. And God just said, how much can you trust me to give to you? Well, see, I knew my income was going to tank. I knew it was going to go way, way down. I had just come off the mission field. There were some churches that were still supporting us. I knew with my health situation that I wasn't going to be able to get out there and hold a, you know, full-time 40-hour week type of job. And I just, well, Lord, and he put an amount on my heart. I said, all right, but you know, and I'm not a good giver. I'm not telling you this. I'm just saying, I want to show you what God has challenged me with. I said, okay, I'll give that. And January came, I was right. Boy, that dollar number went, phew. I gave what I promised. I paid my health insurance, and I had $54 left for the month. For the month? Okay. Now, that will basically fill up your tank. You haven't eaten yet. You haven't done anything else yet. I said, okay, Lord. You know what? It was shortly after that. Out of the blue, a church that had supported us and had dropped us sent us a check for $1,200. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And I said, whoa, amen. It gets us through this month. And every month thereafter, somehow, some way, God said, here's this, here's that, here's this, here's that. Huh? I've even put on weight since I've come back from the mission field. Amen? I'm not rolling in the dough. But by the grace of God, my bills are paid. And it's exciting. I was a little nervous filling out that card. But it's exciting. And what we need to do is begin to trust God. Do you have the faith that you need to trust God? My God shall supply all your what? Need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a great promise. It's Philippians 4:19. But you know that promise was given to the Philippians? And the verses preceding that, we see why they had a need. Because they had given their money for the sake of souls and for the cause of Christ and helped support the Apostle Paul in his missionary endeavors. They gave. And because they gave, they had needs. And because they had needs, God stepped in with a promise and said, because you gave, because you had the faith to give, and now you have a need, I will supply all your need And when we lack faith, we don't get to see God do anything. You know, this church would go on just fine if I didn't give my little 2 pence. It would go on just fine if I didn't give my little bit of anything. But you know what would happen? I would have missed out on all the blessings of seeing God work in a wonderful way. We need to give so we can exercise some faith. And when we're lacking faith, when we're deficient that, with that we're going to be deficient in our giving. And the last thing is this, a lack of concern. In Philippians chapter 4, I'll just read it to you. Verse 15, it says, "Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The church in Philippi gave to God, Paul, which they gave to God, obviously, because he was getting the gospel out. They cared about souls. And because they cared about souls, they gave. You can give without caring, but you can't care without giving. It takes money to print those nice invitations that we pass out. And we've been passing out some nice things, right? Those flyers, you know, you need everyone needs a home, and yeah. It takes money to do that. It takes money to print the tracts. It takes money to operate the college. The trains, pastors and missionaries and Christian school teachers that are all over the country, all over the world. It takes money to send out missionaries, I know. It takes money to operate those buses. And when we don't want to give, it's because we have a lack of concern for what's important to God. What's important to God is souls getting saved. If this church didn't reach out in the community and wasn't active in trying to win the lost around the globe, you might think you had an argument to not give. Well, we see where the money's going, don't we? We see it. I'm glad someone had enough concern to run a bus many years ago on the East Coast and pick up my wife as a little girl. I'm glad. I got 3 teenagers who are glad that they got a mom who's saved. I think James and Brenda. Everyone likes Brenda's smile. You know, I think they're glad that some people in Fairhaven Baptist Church sacrificed to send missionaries to Zambia. I think they're happy about that. And when we lose our concern, we lose a heart to give. Oh, don't ever begrudge giving. It shouldn't be, oh, stewardship month. I gotta give more. Well, if God tells you to, he might not tell you to give more. But it's not, I got it. It's, what can I do? How can I purpose in my heart to say, I want more missionaries to go. I want to keep those buses rolling. Amen? I want to do what I can. How much concern do you have? We're all going to be challenged to pray this month about giving for the coming year. It's good to get a checkup to see what might hinder us from giving what God wants us to give. You should never give a penny more than what God wants you to give. Don't give out of pride. Think, I'm going to impress the preacher. He's probably not that impressed anyway. When we start thinking it's a big amount, it's really not that big anyway. Are you lacking anything we mentioned tonight in the message? If so, get it right. You see, if you get right, you'll give right. And if we all just got right with God, all the needs of the church would be met. All the bills would be paid, and all the ministries would go cruising forward for God. Making a commitment to God is so important, and you don't want anything to hinder you from making the right decision. Look in your life tonight. See if you're missing anything we talked about. Because if you are, it's going to affect your giving. Don't make a commitment until you're right with God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Please stand to your feet with your heads bowed.